Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, and hopefully you like hearing about guns, because we're going to talk a little bit about it today. But if not, we'll probably wade into the deep end of the pool a little bit and talk about some other stuff as well. But I want to thank Grace for letting me host, and I appreciate being in the Howie Carr studio. It's always fun to be up here and talk about things that are truly important. And I've always said, guns are kind of like a olive branch that extends across the aisle. Like, not everybody who owns a gun is a right winger, right? There's a lot of people that are liberal in their, you know, belief systems or their voting habits and whatnot. And at the store, we certainly don't get very political. We welcome everybody. I don't care who you are, who you voted for, whatever it is. And like in that last segment with Rob Pincus, the whole guns for everyone, I'm really all about that. I'm more interested if you want to defend yourself with a firearm and you're, you know, don't believe exactly like me, okay, I'm going to help you defend yourself with a firearm. That's not a problem. And that's the way it goes. You know, guns are one of those issues that can extend on both sides of the aisle and for, you know, help anyone out. They're for everybody. They're a right for every American. So I support your right no matter who you vote for. Hopefully you'll start taking some of your politicians to task for who you voted for if they are anti-gun. And in this last year and a half, this whole pandemic has certainly created this interesting situation where people who never thought they would want to own a gun are now interested in owning a gun. But anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But if you want to be a part of the show, call 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. Or you can text Curly to 63566. Some people don't want to call in, and I get that, and I'm happy to read your text. So a couple texters have texted in, Toby, I have a combo safe for my revolver, but how do I lock up my Ruger 10/22 if I keep it loaded? Thanks. There's actually some good long gun storage that you can put on the wall, mount on the wall, made by Hornady for an AR-15, but it would certainly work for the 10/22. But basically what you do is you could mount one of those to the wall or just get a long gun safe by like Vault Tech makes one, and it's a biometric quick access safe. I would have the muzzle pointed down in the safe, so when you grab it, you're not going to inadvertently hit the trigger. You should keep it with the safety on as well, but I would put the muzzle down and have it, if you're going to stage it, loaded in the house. It's certainly not a problem to do that. But you get a nice biometric quick access safe from like Vault Tech or an RFID safe by Hornady that'll give you quick access. So that's what I would do. And 1359 says, if I'm transporting firearms in my car all locked up and following mass rules and I'm pulled over, do I tell the cop about the firearms? That's a judgment call that, you know, is up to you. There's no law that says you have to. I've heard a lot of people make a good argument as to why you should, and I've heard other people say, like, yeah, you don't have to worry about it. They're probably going to know you're a gun owner anyway. But at the end of the day, whether you choose to disclose or not, if they ask you, answer truthfully. That's really the most important thing. Is if they say, do you have any weapons in the car? I say, yes, I do. They're locked in such and such a case in the back or on the side or on the floor or whatever. How would you like me to proceed? And then just be cooperative with the police. That's the best advice I can give. So I'm not going to say what's better one way or the other, because I've interacted both with a police officer who has known I have firearms in the car and had very good results. And I've also not disclosed and had good results. So that's up to you. But anyway, we also have a poll question today, right? And it's brought to you by Cape Gunworks. We'll get into that later. But the question is, been answered before, but Jared, do you want to tell us what the poll question is and what the results are?
Very simple. What are you taking? Are you taking the 9mm or are you taking the 45?
So which is it, folks? And before the break, the reason and what are the results so far on this?
We are now at 50-50.
50-50, yeah. Wow.
I don't think we're going to settle this today, but we got one more hour.
Okay.
One more. Actually, we got an hour and 40 minutes to settle this once and for
all. So let's settle the score for once and for all. That is, like I said, every time I'm being baited to break the internet, but here we go. So thank you for that. And CapeGunWorks.com. You can go there and shop online, or you can come to Cape Gunworks and see the amazing selection. We have more inventory in stock right now in guns and ammo than in the history of Cape Gunworks. So there you have that. But anyway, it's an interesting discussion. And before the, it came back on the air here, Howie handed me this article from AmmoLand.com about an Idaho backpacker that used a 45 to stop a moose that was attacking him. So it's interesting. It's an interesting article. You can go to AmmoLand.com. But on June 21st, 2021, a bull moose repeatedly charged an Idaho backpacker and his dog. He must have had something against that dog or whatever. But the moose tore apart the campsite and charged at the camper and his dog. It is unclear whether the dog was leashed or not, but it was in the man's camp. Idaho Fish and Game spokeswoman Kara Campbell said that a 45 caliber handgun was used, and they did find the deceased moose further away. And it brings back the old 1989 argument of one shot stopping power with the 45. That's why you carry a 45, because of one shot stopping power. I don't know how many times the guy shot this moose, but they found it deceased, and I don't know if he had a freezer full of steaks as a result or not, or somebody else kept it, but moose meat is delicious. And I would definitely change my self-defense carry gun if I'm out in the wilderness and I'm in like grizzly country, or not that I'm worried about moose. Generally, they don't attack. They're very rare. But when I was backpacking in Alaska, I definitely stepped up my caliber game, because 9mm, yeah, it's a little bit light for a grizzly bear. It's perfectly adequate for two-legged attackers, but four-legged, I probably want something a little more robust. So there you go, throw that into the mix, why not? But anyway, if you want to be on the air, call 844-500-4242. We're gonna go to Ed on the phone right now. Ed, how are you? Thanks for calling the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, good, how you doing, Toby?
Good.
I got a quick question. Me and the wife recently got our LTCs, and they put the wrong numeral for her address. And I went to the police, and they said they were going to contact the state. Will she get another license, and will that hamper her from buying a weapon?
No, they won't issue a new license. They'll change that internally at the Department of Public Safety. And when they renew the license, she'll get a new one and it'll be corrected. But it's kind of just like an address change. And she may have to show a different form, an alternate form of ID if she goes to purchase a gun. If the address, if the name doesn't match, she'll just show her driver's license to confirm that, yeah. Or actually, if they did change it internally, when they print the Merck's form, as the registration for the firearm, it should have the correct information on that form. So I think she'll be all set as long as they changed it internally, but she doesn't need to get a new license. They will definitely take care of that internally, and they'll change it on the renewal. So, yep, good to go. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate that. And before the break, we were talking to, I think it was Bill up in Maine, who was coming at me hard with the ghost gun thing, saying it was a thing from South America or below the southern border. And I didn't mean to cut him off. We just ran up against the break. And he was kind of inferring that that's really the problem that they are trying to address, that it isn't necessarily people who want to make a gun for them, for their own personal private use. But I've never really heard that spoken in any like press conference by legislators who are talking about the epidemic of guns flooding across the U.S. border from our southern or northern or whatever states. I've really not heard that. And frankly, maybe cartels have brought guns here that have been made or manufactured, but I don't think any law that you could create in America to prohibit that by prohibiting Americans from printing their own gun or making their own kit gun can solve that problem. That's a whole nother separate issue or problem whatsoever. So yeah, I don't see how that fixes the problem, even if that was the case, that they want to take away the right to build your own homemade firearm. So anyway, or maybe that's what he was saying, that that's where ghost gun came from, but possibly. I know like Pakistan is one of the biggest counterfeit gun makers in the world. Like they make tons of guns in Pakistan that are, like he said, replica guns, and they distribute them to whoever wants to buy them. So they do them in back alleys and whatever, factories and warehouses, and they have quite the technology to do that. So there you have it. But I don't know of those making their way to America and becoming a problem. So, all right, another call from Maine. Dave, you're on the Grace Curley Show with Toby Leary. How are you today?
Hey, Toby. Good. I was just wondering, I'm up here in Maine, and you know, we have constitutional carry up here, and I carry quite often. But I was just wondering if you thought I should get a physical permit. I know there's some different regulations around it. And I actually do have a full carry permit from New York from the time I used to live there. But I was wondering if you thought I should just get a Maine carry permit, or whether it would just be better to go under constitutional carry.
I don't see the benefit to it other than if there's something I'm not, you know, thinking about, but constitutional carry is constitutional carry. I love the fact that it's been a movement across the country. I remember when Vermont was the only state in the union that had constitutional carry, and now I think we're up to 24, maybe half the country has constitutional carry, which is great, and all of the states to our northern border here in Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont are all constitutional carry states. So I don't know if the benefit would help you much in Maine, but there may be some benefit in states that have reciprocity. So there are some states that have reciprocity. If you have a license in your home state to carry a gun, then when you travel abroad and go to another state that you know has reciprocity agreements, then you could possibly show them that you have a license from your home state. I don't know if that works with constitutional carry, but so there'd be a little bit more research I'd do on that. But if you plan on traveling abroad to states that have reciprocity with Maine, then yeah, it would probably make sense to get a permit as an alternate form of ID, especially if you're going to carry a gun in those states. So good question. But all right, we're going to go to the break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Grace Curley Show, but tell us about the Eden Pure Purifier, Jared.
Yeah, so I don't know if you heard the show yesterday, but the building decided that it's the Howie Carr Studios' turn to get repainting. And I mean, it looks great. It's a, I would say maybe a soothing taupe, maybe a dusty marigold. Very nice color, very soothing, but it's paint, so it smells like paint. And of course, we had the Woker Joke VIP in yesterday, and the last thing we want is our VIPs to come in and have to huff paint while they're trying to eat their lunch. So what did we do? We plugged in the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, and within an hour, that paint smell was gone, and the air was purified, because what the Thunderstorm does is it actually eliminates odors. It doesn't just cover up odors. It eliminates it. It ionizes the air, which creates a super oxygen, which gets rid of allergens, pollutants, odors, pollen, things like that, you know? But the paint fumes are just one of the reasons why the Thunderstorm is Eden Pure's best-selling products, and this week, the special 3-pack is available to Grace Curley listeners, but it is coming to an end soon. It's done on Sunday, so hop on this now. With the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack, you'll get 3 units for under $200, and you will also save $200. So that's 3 units for under $200, and you'll save $200. It's so small, it's so light. Like we say, just plug it into the wall, outlet, you turn it on. You don't have to worry about cords, filters, bulky equipment, anything like that. So take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack now. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on Grace's name, and at checkout, put in the code word GRACE3. That's Grace and the number 3, and that will save you $200. And like I said, hop on this now, EdenPureDeals.com. Click on Grace Curley, enter code GRACE3, because this is done on Sunday.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
All right, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, and I'm having a ball here today on this rainy day, rainy Friday. So no better thing to do than to tune into the Grace Curley Show and hear all about gun stuff. So yeah, there's that. And if you want to be a part of the show, call 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. Or you can text Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 63566. That's C-U-R-L-E-Y to 63566. And I'll get to your questions. So that's cool. We also have a poll question on our own website at our Twitter page, the Cape Gunworks Twitter page. So you can go to Twitter. It's at Cape Gunworks and check out our poll question. It's not quite as cool as this one that'll, you know, breaks the internet stuff, but this one's kind of cool. So go ahead and do that. And if you want to get signed up for that Gunmakers Match, go to gunmakersmatch.com. Thegunmakersmatch.com. You'll see the link for the Massachusetts match coming up. And you could also find it on our website at capegunworks.com. All right. So enough about all of that stuff. We're going to go back to the phone. John's been holding a while, and he has a 2A question. He's from Falmouth, Maine. Lots of questions from Maine today. Go ahead, John. How are you?
Good. How to do it quickly as I can. Firstly, I think I'm convinced that with 380, barrel length is vital. You got to have some barrel length to get the bullet moving. You know, under 3 inches, not so much. That's my opinion, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
As to the Second Amendment, you know, when the House passed the Second Amendment originally, there was wording in it that what they call the Senate Style Committee removed. Do you ever hear about that?
No, I'm not sure what you mean about the House passing the Second Amendment.
The House passed the Second Amendment. They passed it on to the Senate, you know, the Bill of Rights.
Okay.
They passed it on to the Senate has what's called a Style Committee. So they removed a couple words. Mm-hmm. Very important now. This is what it should say. A well-regulated militia, we know that part. Here's the part they left out. Composed of the body of the people. Composed of the body of the people was left out.
Okay.
Look at all the problems that's caused over the years. Now, I understand that U.S. v. Miller ruled that only military, contemporary military arms are protected by the Second Amendment. Only.
Hmm.
That's what U.S. v. Miller said in 1938. D.C. v. Heller gave us, we can have any firearm for anybody. That's my take on those things. I'd like to hear your opinion.
Well, it's funny. I think it's, thanks for the call, John. That was actually very insightful. But it's very funny when you hear the right to keep and bear arms. I think that the founders were intelligent enough to understand that there would be a changing of technology as time progressed. I think you'd be, you wouldn't be smart enough to write up articles of independence and, you know, bills of rights and everything else if you didn't recognize that technology changes. I think that for any, you know, the Supreme Court to weigh in along the way and say only military arms are protected, or, you know, and maybe that was under the context of a well-regulated militia part, that they were saying that so that it would, you know, not be the individual right to keep and bear arms, because then it doesn't make sense that only military arms are protected. But I digress. So I'm just saying that the government had, or the founders had the forethought to know that if they said muskets are protected, that someday technology, they didn't know what it would look like, but that technology would look a little different than the technology that they had at the time. And, you know, there was still some pretty big artillery pieces. Like, I know Biden said, you can't possess a cannon, you couldn't possess a cannon, but actually you could. And they didn't restrict it to just small arms, they said arms. So anyway, smarter people than I hashed that all out a long time ago, and we're still fighting over it today. So you're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your host, guest host, Toby Leary, and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio,
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm your host, Toby Leary, filling in for the vacationing Grace Curley with a well-deserved day off. And hopefully she's not doing outdoor activities today because it is not the best day to be doing outdoorsy stuff. So anyway, you can come to Cape Gunworks where it's always 70 degrees and shoot on our state-of-the-art range, or come shop with us or take a class. We'd love to have you. And I am shamelessly going to plug that for the entire time I am here today. So I'm sorry if you don't like guns. We'll talk about something of interest. Something will pique your interest at some point today. I promise you that. Guns definitely can be a polarizing topic for sure. And so if you want to be on the show, call 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. Or you can text Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 63566. And just before we go to the phones, I'm going to get to a couple of the texters here. I have one that says, hello, I'm interested in a mare's leg rifle for the farm. Do ballistics favor any of the pistol calibers within 50 yards? Well, the nice thing about the mare's leg is that it has a long enough barrel, and it's made by Henry, for those who don't know. It's a cool little lever action gun that kind of slides into the scabbard on the side of the horse. That's what I think of it as. But you could put it on, get some cool custom big leather thing that straps to your leg too, because overall length is probably about 18 inches or something like that. So anyway, the ballistics do favor the pistol calibers versus a traditional pistol because of the extended long barrel, just as one of the callers in the last hour was talking about. So yeah, that's a fun little gun, and it's a good gun to have on the farm. So got another texter here saying, when will we see primers again for reloaders? And he texted the question twice because he's really interested in getting some primers, I see. But it's tough because they're just, you know, they're being used for making ammunition. We've got, I think, a couple thousand, maybe, I don't know, 10 or 20,000 primers at our shop in the past year and a half, which is nothing. And one reloader could easily snap up 10,000 of them just to, you know, stay current, especially competitive shooters. That's who it's hurting the most, who have to, you know, get to power factor in the match. And so they have their special recipe to, you know, ramp up the velocity of their ammo or whatever. So anyway, one more. Hey, Toby, can I take my homemade gun off property to go to the range as long as I'm legally able? I heard you can't take it off your property. That's not true. You can definitely take that off your property and shoot it to your heart's content in responsible gun owner manners. And yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. The only thing is you can't transfer it. And like Rob was saying on the phone earlier, you'd have to destroy it at that point. So once you make a gun for yourself, you definitely, that's what it is. It's for yourself, for your own private use. So, all right, the phone lines are full. So we're going to go ahead and jump on the phones here. John's been waiting a while. So John, thanks for calling from Massachusetts. I'm just kidding. I love the guys.
Hey buddy, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, the first time I've ever called in. So this is pretty exciting.
Nice.
Real quick, you had referenced, to a gentleman calling about his 1022, and you, clearly said that, you know, that gun could be loaded. Now, I've always operated in Massachusetts that I have to have that ammunition in a separate safe. And so all the drills that I've had for me and my wife and my four kids constantly every night to drill and how to load this gun really quick so we can defend ourselves against bad guys is a moot point. Like
Yes.
I can actually have my gun loaded in a safe?
You can. Yep. You can definitely stage the gun in the home for home defense. And it's a great question. And in fact, you know, I've been through lots of classes where I've heard instructors actually give that as the law of the land. It's almost like Canadian law has migrated into Massachusetts here, where people say, oh, and you got to have your guns unloaded and the ammunition locked separately, and you got to disassemble the gun, and you got to hide part of it under the bed and put the other half up in the attic, and, you know, freeze your bolt in the freezer in a bag of ice so you can never get at it. You know, that's kind of the logic that has been taught for a long time. And that is not true. You can absolutely stage a gun in the home for defensive purposes so long as it is not accessible to unauthorized users. So you got to keep it from people who aren't authorized or legally able to, you know, handle those weapons. So you know, obviously if your wife is licensed and your kids are licensed and, you know, whatnot, you can give them the combo to the safe or the biometric fingerprint to it, or the combo on the quick access keypad or the RFID device, but you 100% can keep that gun loaded. Just do it in a safe manner. So my handgun is in my biometric safe loaded, but it's still in my holster, so I don't reach in and inadvertently pull the trigger as I draw it out of the safe under stress. I don't want to grab it and hit the trigger and shoot a hole in the back of the safe. So therefore, you just do it in a safe manner. If it's a long gun, you could choose to maybe put the magazine in it and not chamber a round, or you could, you know, have the round chambered, safety on, the muzzle pointed down. But the point is just make sure it's in a safe manner if you do that. So great question, John. I'd love to clear that myth up whenever I can. So good call. Kim, you're from Rumford, Maine, and we're looking forward to talking to another Maine caller. It's been a couple calls here since we How are you today? Go ahead, Kim. You're on the Grace Curley Show.
Yes, Kim.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, Tim.
Hey, okay. thanks for taking the call. Hi, that's okay. K-I-M, yep.
All right.
I've got a rattlesnake story for you. I want to know if it's true. I got out of college in the 70s, and I was working for a guy who told me this story. He'd been in boot camp in the desert. That wasn't wartime, so it wasn't tense. And one day his sergeant said, "Would you like to go out rattlesnake shooting?" He said, "Sure." So they got on horses, and they went out in the desert. And the way they found the rattlesnakes is, well, the horses found them. The horses started moving around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting a little jumpy. Well, they get to the first snake. The sergeant takes out his service 45 and casually shoots the snake's head off from a distance. And this is kind of astounding. This guy was a private, and he hadn't had any training. They go to the second snake, and the sergeant shoots the head off. And the guy is even more amazed. They go to the third snake. Sergeant says, "Listen, this is not hard. Why don't you give it a try?" And his weapon. And the guy says, I don't know what to do. I'm not trained on a handgun. So just give it a try. And by God, he shoots the snake's head off on a horse that's moving around from a distance. And the guy, finally, the sergeant breaks out laughing, and he explains that the slug of a 45 moves so slowly, and the snake has such good reflexes, that if you get it anywhere close, the snake goes out to meet it.
Yeah, I think that's one of those good old wives' tales about, you know, I used to have people talk about that and say, like, oh, you can outrun the 45. But it's one of those good stories you tell around the campfire to say how slow your 45 is. It was probably someone who's trying to advocate for the 9mm, maybe. Who knows? You never know. But thanks for the call there, Tim. And Charles, you're next with us from New Hampshire. Go ahead, Charles. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I just wanted to kind of, just for a little food for thought, I heard you speaking about in the past with the Constitution and firearms, and what people, and I've heard this lately, and a lot of people have said one of the reasons, or the main reason, you know, for them to put that in the Constitution as the Second Amendment, and we all know, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, but I saw a good meme, and it said those who... the reason they gave us the guns and that we own guns is because basically, or excuse me, let me reiterate, those who want to confiscate guns are confiscating your guns because they know that and eventually they are going to do something that you would shoot them for. Mm. And I know that sounds harsh, but constitutionally, our forefathers knew that. And they wrote about it. There's papers. Besides the Constitution, there's no interpretation of it. Any other way, it was to make sure that we could defend our republic, whether it be from foreign invasion or internally.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't realize how strong that is. A lot of the letters, they used to keep documents. I don't know if it's the Federalist Papers, but there was a lot of things that were written, why certain things were put in those constitution. And people have to also remember that it's not a privilege. Gun ownership is not a privilege. It is an absolute 100% right.
I agree with you 100% there, Charles. No doubt about it. And you're right. You're right. The founding fathers just kicked out the tyrannical Brits and sent them across the pond when they came for their guns, and they knew, you know, things were coming to a head. And that's exactly what it was all about. It had nothing to do with hunting. It had nothing to do with grandpa being able to go put food on the table with his deer rifle. It had nothing to do with even your own personal protection for the most part. It was really a construct of being able to defend yourself against tyrannical government. And, you know, I've heard a lot in my career and also before that as a gun owner all about how we need common sense gun control. We need Australia style. It's working. It's working in Australia. And now look at what's going on in Australia right now. If you don't want to get a jab and you don't want to, you know, fall into place with the tyranny in Australia right now, and you want to go out on the street and protest, guess what they're doing? They're coming at you and shooting you with rubber bullets. And what are they saying? Like, it's rubber bullets this time, or pepper balls, or whatever they're shooting them with. And arresting people, and they're throwing them to the ground. You don't have your mask on. You're not socially distanced, or you're outside the 5-kilometer radius of your house, or whatever. I've seen one where a lady got followed to her home after leaving a protest, and they pulled her over and promptly arrested her for being outside of the 5-kilometer radius of her home. So, you know, it's crazy. Like, that's the result of what happens through gun confiscation. We've seen that throughout time. And, you know, you've seen it with Cambodia. You've seen it with, you know.
Yeah. And it's not because you can shoot the police if they pull you over, but it's because the ruling authorities know that you have a means of pushing back on them.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Right. And then the funniest part is they say, like, oh, yeah. Joe Biden says, what are you going to do? You don't have nukes or F-15s. How are you going to overthrow the government, right? And then you get a bunch of peaceful, largely peaceful, legitimately peaceful protesters, not the ones where, like, there's burning buildings in the background, walking around the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, and no one's armed, no one's getting shot except an unarmed woman by a police officer who was known to, you know, be trigger happy. And then, you know, Candace Owen the other night says it was a grandmother's selfie party when you see this new surveillance video that's been being released. And it's true. They look like they're at the bazaar on a Saturday morning, like, you know, at some swap meet or some, you know, flea market. And they're all just kind of walking around kind of aimlessly, like, oh, cool. Look at the decorations. Pretty neat. Like, do a selfie. Hey, group picture with our Trump flag. And they say that is the insurrection. Like, that was the most, they said the, if it had got in there a little sooner, I saw a news guy say, they would have probably executed the vice president. They would have executed everybody in Congress. And it's like, with what? You know, their Trump flag, like, beat them over the head. Like, give me a break. Number one. Number two, to say something like that these days, you're almost labeled an immediate conspiracy theorist. And I saw a great meme the other day that said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. This crap doesn't add up, theorist. You know, something's not adding up here, right? And you used to be able to have critical thought and discussion without being labeled, you know, extremist. You could just say, hey, like, can we sit down and talk about this stuff still? Like, what's the deal? Like, or is that not allowed? Okay. So, Craig, hold on after the break. I'll get to you. I promise. I know you've been waiting a while. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show, and I'm Toby Leary. We'll be right back.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
And this is not Grace Curley. This is Toby Leary filling in for Grace Curley. So hopefully she is having a wonderful day off, and I appreciate the opportunity to come in here and talk guns with everybody or whatever else you want to talk about. And speaking of talking, Craig has been on hold for a while, so we're going to go right to the phones here with Craig. Thanks for calling the Grace Curley Show.
Toby, on 208 Tuesday, you advised somebody driving an auto from Mass down to Florida to don't stop through New York or New Jersey. But also, it's my understanding in New Jersey that hollow point ammunition is prohibited.
Yes.
And that if you get caught with it, you're going to get arrested, you're going to go to court, and you're going to go to jail. So probably the best thing to do is maybe don't go through New Jersey. Go around, maybe through Pennsylvania. But I think that was very good advice.
Yeah, you can do the end around if you want. There's no doubt about it. But safe passage is safe passage. If you're allowed to drive straight through, there's been some question as to whether or not, you know, that includes stopping for gasoline. But if it doesn't, I don't know how it wouldn't. But for the for that matter, why take the chance? Just fuel up in, you know, Rhode Island or whatever and run the gauntlet straight down to Pennsylvania or Virginia or whatever to a gun-friendlier state that won't arrest you if you're caught with those death-dealing hollow points. So, yeah, and I know that some police officers got jammed up with that a few years ago on when they were carrying on their LEOSA permit. So there's a permit that retired law enforcement officers and current law enforcement can carry on the badge, but retired law enforcement can carry it with a LEOSA permit. So it's in all 50 states. And they were carrying in New Jersey, got stopped, and they were disarmed, and they were found to have these hollow points, and that is illegal in New Jersey. So there you have it. It was like, man, why poke the bear? And so they didn't even recognize them saying like, hey, we got this code blue of ethics or whatever they call it, you know, the blue line, like we're going to cover each other, brother. They're like, nope, you're in New Jersey. You're going to pay a steep price. So it's not worth it. Sometimes just run the gauntlet and, you know, stop in a friendlier state. But, and I get that all the time up here in Massachusetts. People are like, hey, why don't you just move? Like go to Florida or go to Texas or go to Maine or something. And it's like, well, that's not so easy. You know, I can't uproot Cape Gunworks, throw it on my shoulder and bring it with me. You know, we have family, we have ties, you know, and that's not really the answer. I always yell at people who say, hey, I moved to North Carolina and it's wonderful down here. Ha ha ha. You all stuck in Massachusetts. And I'm like, oh, that's great. You took the easy way out. So you can do that. I'd rather stay and fight, for crying out loud. It's worth it, you know, so let's stay and fight. And there's a lot of good that can be done. And Gun Owners Action League's doing a lot of good. Firearms Policy Coalition's doing a ton of good. They filed a lawsuit in our state challenging the that, you know, firearms approved weapons roster that we have in this state. So that'll be good to see how that goes. And hopefully that'll make its way and have its day in court as well. 844-500-4242 is the number if you want to get on the call here. And you can also text Curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 63566. And I will read your question on the air. Let's go to Russ. No time. We'll get to Russ on the other side. So stay tuned, Russ. It's a long break. If you can hold on, we'll get to your call. You're listening to Grace Curly Show. I'm Toby Leary.